This is Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. While we were cooped up in COVID-19 lockdowns, birds in the cities and suburbs of the Pacific Northwest were spreading their wings. Birds like crows, hummingbirds, finches, and chickadees were using a wider variety of public spaces during the early days of the pandemic. That's what a new University of Washington paper suggests. Olivia Sanderfoot was lead researcher on the study. She's now a postdoctoral scholar in the Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology at the University of California, Los Angeles. Hi, Olivia.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. So what inspired this study in the first place? Did you look out the window during early COVID times and go, wow, these birds just look different? What's going on?
Actually, I was planning to do some field work out in Eastern Washington in spring of 2020. And because of the COVID-19 pandemic lockdowns, I was unable to do that field work and I needed to come up with another project to fuel my PhD dissertation. And I thought, you know, I would like to do something that connects the community during this challenging time. And I would love to get more folks excited about birding because that's something that we can all do from our own homes in the safety of our neighborhoods during the shelter in place orders. And so I launched this project and I was shocked to see the interest, the outpouring of support for this project across the Pacific Northwest. We had over 900 volunteers enroll in this program, which was absolutely terrific. And it allowed us to answer some very exciting questions about urban ecology and explore what attracts birds to backyards and what influences our ability to detect the birds in our yard on any given day, given the surrounding level of human mobility and air pollution and weather, which is super cool.
Yeah, you couldn't be in the field, so you asked community scientists to volunteer for their little slice of the Pacific Northwest and share what they were observing, which is really cool. And I want to talk about that a little bit more. But first, what kinds of things did you find through this network of observers?
Yes. So because we had so much data in cities across the Pacific Northwest, we were able to answer some exciting questions through a rather big exploratory analysis. And we used a type of model that is common to our field to consider drivers of site use by and detection of birds, which really means that we were trying to figure out what drove birds to use specific places within this highly heterogeneous urban area, and then what influences our observations of them day to day. And I think the most exciting finding is that we found that for 3/4 of our study species, 76%, the daily level of human mobility compared to a pre-pandemic baseline influenced detection of birds. And that means that the amount that we move around, the extent of human disturbance, even on a day-to-day basis, ultimately influences our sightings of birds, which suggests that they are responding behaviorally. They are adjusting their behavior day-to-day directly in response to what we're doing. And that was true even during a period of highly repressed, highly reduced human activity during lockdowns, which suggests that this would be true at other times as well.
So the birds are watching us, is what you're saying, Olivia. Can you explain what that means using an example, say a city park?
Sure. So some birds are more sensitive to human disturbance than others. So for example, one species might find our presence to be more of a disturbance. Perhaps that species is more likely to be more territorial or not want humans near its nest. And so if we're around, that creates a stressor. And that might mean that when we are not around as often, that bird is less likely to be visible because it is not trying to spook us away, not trying to defend its territory or its nest. Or it could also mean that it's feeling more relaxed and hopping around and using space in a way that makes it more likely for us to detect it. So it could really vary from species to species. But what I think is most exciting is that this really shows that even during a time of greatly reduced human activity, the amount that we move around influences bird behavior, and not all species respond in the same way. So when we think about conservation and we think about actions that we can take to make our cities safe havens for birds, we're not just going to be able to take a one size fits all approach. We're really going to need to think about how individual species respond to human disturbance and how we can find a happy medium so that all birds are happy.
So when we were staying home early on in the pandemic, and you used Google community data to show, you know, generally people's movements in the Pacific Northwest, were there a lot more birds in like a regular area of a city where you might not normally have seen birds?
That's a really good question. So in this study, we didn't look at bird abundance. So it's hard for me to say for sure how population sizes fared. But what I can say is that we looked at how land use and canopy cover drove site use by birds, which basically means that we were looking at different characteristics of habitat within cities and trying to figure out which species are more drawn to which habitats. And we found that for 50% of our study species, there wasn't a habitat feature that those birds were more or less likely to use, which suggested to us that at least during the lockdowns, which almost perfectly overlapped with our study period, there were some species that were just as likely to be observed in less developed areas as they were to be observed in more developed areas, which could mean that they were happy to use many places within cities because they were safer or less disturbed by human activity. Obviously, we would need to collect some more data, particularly after the lockdowns and as we resume pre-pandemic levels of activity to test that, but I think that's a really exciting idea.
And you continue to observe as the pandemic changed and as people's activity changed during the pandemic, from early lockdown when we were mostly staying home to when people were starting to use public spaces more. What did your citizen scientists observe?
So intriguingly, many of our community scientists actually observed more birds in their backyard. They were more likely to detect backyard birds in their yards and nearby parks than they were at the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic lockdowns. And that surprised us because we expected that as human activity increased, we would observe greater background noise and commotion and hustle and bustle in our cities, which would make it harder to detect birds. And for many of the species included in our study, that was not the case. And that could suggest that our backyards and parks serve as important refugia for birds in cities, and that as the hustle and bustle and commotion of pre-pandemic life resumed, those places became places that birds found more enticing.
Did that surprise you to see, as human activity increased, that the backyard observations would see more birds?
Yes, absolutely. I definitely expected that across the board, we would observe a negative relationship between human mobility and detection of birds, which means that as human activity increased and more folks were on the road and out and about in our cities, we would be less likely to detect birds, any birds, all birds. But that was not true. And for many of the species included in our analysis, we observed the opposite relationship. There were still birds. I think this is important to keep in mind. There were still birds included in our study that did exhibit that negative relationship, but more birds exhibited this positive relationship instead.
We're hearing the voices of several of your volunteers today, and I'd love for you to just reflect on what it was like to work with them, the folks who stepped up during the pandemic to share their observations.
I love my volunteers. They're amazing. They're amazing. This research would not have been possible without them. I was continuously inspired by their efforts. We had an outpouring of support from the birding community for beginner birders, and we established this fabulous mentorship program where birders that had more experience worked with birders who had less experience to assist them with species ID. And really, I feel quite confident that the data that everybody contributed was worthwhile and valuable and added valuable insight to this project. We even did a post hoc analysis to test how birding ability influenced your probability of detecting birds. And we found that not all expert birders are better at making species identifications. Don't discount those beginner birders. They know their stuff. They're learning. They're doing their due diligence. They're checking the guidebooks and using the Merlin apps, and they're trying to figure stuff out, which is really great. I think that Our community scientists are fabulous, wonderful people who stepped up during a challenging and unprecedented time to ensure that we had an opportunity to monitor birds in cities during a historic moment, and that data will have a lasting impact on ornithology. This study aside, all of their observations are also included in a global database of community science observations called eBird, and countless studies emerge from that program every year. So by the fact that they participated alone, they contributed valuable data that will be undoubtedly included in many, many studies.
Olivia Sanderfoot is a postdoctoral scholar at UCLA, and she was the lead researcher on the University of Washington paper, Drivers of Avian Habitat Use and Detection of Backyard Birds in the Pacific Northwest During COVID-19 Pandemic Lockdowns, which published last week. Thank you very much, Olivia, for stopping by.
Thanks so much for having me.
And as I mentioned, we also heard from some of the community scientist volunteers who worked to make this project happen. They shared what they gained from participating in the research.
My name is Sharon Swenson Howard. I live in Ballard, overlooking the Sound and the entrance to the locks.
My name is Nadine Santopietro. I live in Seattle.
My name is Kristen Bergsman. I live in the Ballard neighborhood of Seattle.
My name is Aaron Katz. I live in Anacortes, Washington.
Hi, my name is Fran Meyer, and I live in Kenmore.
For many years, I've had an interest in birds and have three bird feeders, two suet feeders in our yard, plus a bird bath. So suddenly, in the middle of all the negativity surrounding COVID and the lockdown, there would be an actual purpose to my bird watching while contributing to a larger effort.
While the world was changing and we all were dealing with the unknown, the birds kept on about their business and even took advantage of us not being there and disturbing them.
It felt nice to be part of something bigger during a time where the world felt small and there was so much worry.
Just the time sitting on my swing bench, watching and listing the birds that I saw, and just the calmness of that time.
It was sometime early in the project. I just could not figure out what these particular little brown birds were, so I observed them and I sent a description of their appearance and behavior to Olivia. She knew what they were right away and shared in my delight of them. Bush tits. They're really fun to watch.
And feeling like, you know, I was part of this research project and that was great, but really that sense of communing with the birds and nature for those 10-minute intervals.
And then I started seeing another bird, beautiful shades of blue and gray, a little white and black. And so I used the Merlin Bird ID app, and it told me it was a bird called a California scrub jay. So it was really fun to be able to add that to the list and to be able to say, yes, indeed, there are Western scrub jays that are living and thriving in Ballard.
I was able to identify over 20 different varieties of birds by just looking out the window of my home. But I was still surprised by visits from downy woodpeckers, pine siskins, northern flickers, and many others.
And I think back to when I wouldn't have known their names, wouldn't have taken the time to sit and watch and listen. That's what this project has done for me. It started as a project when we were in lockdown, and it expanded my world and continues to do so.
My favorite memory from this project was seeing so many different types of birds by just sitting at the window. It's a pastime that continues to delight me.
The task was a small one that only required weekly reporting, but it gave me a feeling of doing something of value for birds, and it focused my observations on the birds, their numbers and species. That led me to do additional research and study. I'm very grateful to Dr. Sanderfoot and the others who worked with her for designing and implementing the study that created this opportunity. Now seeing the results of all the combined observations in the study is very gratifying. Thanks so much. Bye.
Thank you to all of those citizen scientist volunteers for getting into contact with us. Sharon, Nadine, Kristen, Aaron, and Fran. That is, again, the University of Washington study on the effects of human activity slowing down in the early days of the pandemic on backyard birds in the Pacific Northwest.